fakes the handoff. He drives the lane. He takes it to the house. Bouncing off defenders. He just laid it in. He just put it up and in. 56 seconds to play. Oh, by the way.
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Game 7 is over. It's an instant classic.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
A three for the game.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
You've got to pinch me.
The doctor is now in.
It is a Tuesday. Glad to have you here. T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio. Yes, a terrible Tuesday edition. You know what that means? Of course, we get to vent. Our favorite day. Chris Chapman's favorite day. Looks forward to it all week.
You know it.
All right, man. It is the beginning of the NCAA tournament. Yes, the play-in games begin today, but a lot of people don't realize this does not affect your bracket. The brackets start on Thursday, so you have another almost 48 hours or so to get those brackets together.
You know, it does affect your bracket in some ways because when Virginia Commonwealth went to the Final Four, however, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, they were the 11 seed in the play-in game, and they won that. I believe they beat USC, and then they rolled through and went all the way to the Final Four. So unless you picked VCU going the entire way from that play-in game, well, you don't pick the play-in game. But
right.
I think LIU, man, they're a live dog in that, in the whole thing.
So it's kind of like the free spin or the free square. That's what you get. You get the free square tonight and tomorrow night with the four games being played. But, yeah, don't worry. A lot of people ask that question. Well, do I got to get the brackets in by Tuesday at 3:40? No. You got till Thursday morning, 9 a.m.
I'm glad we don't have to pick these games because, quite honestly, I do think Radford probably is better than LIU, but that St. Bonaventure-UCLA game, pretty tough to call. And I'll be rooting for the Bonnies in that one, even though I know Tracy Murray is a UCLA guy and Brian Benowitz is also a UCLA guy. I'm an East Coast guy. I like the Atlantic 10, so I'll be... Plus, I have a friend who played at St. Bonaventure, so I'll be pulling for the Bonnie. I should see if they can send me some swag.
The Bonnie swag?
Bonnie swag, yeah.
Yeah. It's either... Was it? It looks like it's brown, but it's black.
It looks
black
like
and
a
white.
Dog, yeah.
It's very, very dark uniforms. I can never tell if they're deep brown or black. I think they're black and whites.
They're like a poor man's Wyoming with those uniforms.
Oh, jeez. Well, I talked to Tracy Murray earlier today, and I said, I know you're in Dayton, man, and he's recovering from the flu. He's going to come on with us today. But he goes, I got to save up my voice for the call tonight. And I said, are you guys going to win? He goes, man, he goes, they got some good guards at St. Bonnie. He goes, plus we're stupid.
Well, that tends to be a trait of Steve Alford coached teams. They play
it's
stupid.
True.
So it's not, I mean, we saw it for many years in New Mexico when he was coaching here. Good coach, but there's times where the Lobos played stupid under Steve Alford. And, you know, I think people who watch UCLA closely, they kind of feel the same way. I mean, I've heard a lot of things from UCLA fans who they're not fans of Steve Alford.
Well,
so.
You know, and Tracy's been very honest with us when he comes on the show, and he's, again, that's what he said earlier today, but yeah, they don't make a lot of right decisions, and you know, they didn't even know if they would get out of the first round game here in the Pac-12 tournament last week when they played Stanford, and they got by them, and you know, played Arizona, and was a great game, went to overtime, then they got shut out in the overtime 11-0, which was crazy, but this UCLA team definitely has talent. They got Welsh. They got Holiday. They can play. Goleman, the big guy, is good. And when you look at this matchup on paper, your eyes are going to be drawn to UCLA. And they're a three-point favorite. So the public's going to be all over UCLA, which they are. But the sharper action is going to be on the Bonnies because the Bonnies are kind of under the radar. For people here in Las Vegas, they don't know about that same Bonaventure program, but they've got some good guard play. They are a very physical team, got a little bit of size, but they play rough and tough out of that A-10. They are a strong program, and I'm leaning with you. I'm leaning with the Bonnies tonight, even though I would like to see UCLA win, and UCLA played very well in their two games here in the tournament. Again, we're on the verge of knocking off Arizona and getting to the championship game. But then all of a sudden, because they lose that game, they fall into the play-in game, the Battle of the 11 seeds. And to your point, well, both these games are virtually pick-ems. They're hard to choose because, yes, you have 16 against 16 in the Radford-LIU game, and then you got 11 an 11 here, you know? So they are there to be matched up evenly with each other.
Well, and Bonaventure, they're on a pretty good win streak or run. I mean, they lost in the finals of or semifinals of the Atlantic 10 to Davidson, who eventually won it. But, you know, they've beaten Virginia Commonwealth. They beat Rhode Island. They also beat Maryland. All right, maybe not a great win, but it's still Maryland. They beat Syracuse, who's an NCAA tournament team. They beat Buffalo, who's also an NCAA tournament team. You know, so they're not a terrible team. I mean, they started
out. They're a good team.
They lost to Niagara by a basket, all right, you know, but that was the first game of the season. But they played tough at TCU, or against TCU, I should say. So they're not a bad team. They beat Vermont, who was the champions, regular season champions in the America East. Very fine program. So, you know, they're a pretty good team. They started out a little slow in the A-10, but they finished 14-4 in that conference, 25-7 on the year. I like them. You know, like I said, I'm a fan of the A-10 because it's a bunch of small schools from the Northeast, and I'm not a UCLA fan. I mean, I don't like Steve Alford, and I don't like UCLA, so I'll be pulling for St. Bonaventure tonight.
Not a big fan of these play-in games.
No.
And I agree with Jay Billis. Hey, it should be 64. 68 is just wrong. But I will say this. Since they went to this format where they're matching up the 11s, you have one game tonight and then one game on Wednesday. Those are interesting games. UCLA
St.
Bonaventure.
There are also two teams that shouldn't be in tomorrow night.
Well, that's true. UCLA St. Bonaventure should be a Thursday or Friday game.
Yes.
That should be a very good first-round game, and we're going to get it tonight in Dayton, which, in my opinion, favors St. Bonnie because they play there.
Yeah.
They play there every year.
Yeah, that's true, because they do
in
play
conference
at Dayton, and I don't – the Atlantic 10 tournament was not in Dayton, but that's where they play.
Right.
You know, Dayton is in their conference.
Right.
And, you know, the thing with these play-in games, I've always felt that it's an injustice – to these really small schools like Radford and Long Island University and North Carolina Central and Texas Southern or whoever. Yeah, Texas Southern. Because you know what? Give those kids from these small, tiny conferences, give them their day. You know, if you're going to do play-in games, give me all 11 versus 11 seeds. You know, because the 11 seeds are usually the last teams in. So give the 16 seeds, give them their 16 seed, let them get their day against the one. Don't make Long Island University go home after tonight. Don't make North Carolina Central, whoever wins that game, go home tomorrow night. Give them their game against the number one seed. If they lose by 50, they lose by 50. But that's what the NCAA tournament's all about. If you're going to do play-in games, I want the last eight teams in as an at-large playing each other. This way you can truly call it a play-in game.
True.
Because Long Island University, look, they're terrible. 18-16 on the year. But you know what? They get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament by winning their conference tournament. Don't make them play in a play-in game because technically they're not in the NCAA tournament. Although,
but they've already qualified, right?
Yes.
They won their conference tournament. They're in.
Yes.
Oh,
although,
but they're not.
Although there was a year, because I follow Monmouth University pretty closely, they were in the play-in game. They won. It actually counts as a win in the NCAA tournament. But I don't like these 16s playing each other.
Yeah.
Give me 11s versus 11 for all four of these games.
All right. Terrible Tuesday it is. You can vent your frustrations with us if you'd like to chime in. 876-1340. Of course, the area code 702. Go to the website, tcmartinshow.com. Follow us on Twitter and tweet us your Terrible Tuesdays at tcmartin21. Let's get it cracking.
It's Terrible Tuesday.
That's terrible.
Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to know what the hell he's smoking.
Something stinks in here.
That's terrible.
It's Terrible Tuesday. Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
Well, the problems that we have with the Oakland Raiders. Yes. Oh, trouble in Raider camp, as we've talked about so much during this past season. Sean Smith, a guy that I've talked about in the past. Well, pleaded guilty to a felony assault charge and is going to be sentenced to 1 year in prison. Smith's legal issues stem from an incident with his sister's boyfriend last summer in Pasadena. Smith has agreed to plead guilty to a felony charge of assault with great bodily harm and will be sentenced to 1 year in prison and 3 years of probation. Now, releasing Smith will save the Raiders about $8.5 million in salary cap space. Oakland has more than $16.5 million in cap space available. Smith was due salaries of $8.25 million next year and $8.75 million in 2019. So if you remember Sean Smith, he came over from the Chiefs, then played with the Dolphins as well, signed a 4-year, $38 million deal. But here's the real news of the story. Well, I shouldn't say the real news, the other part. Number one, Sean Smith is an idiot, and he has been for quite some time, plain and simple. And I put him in that same collection of goofballs in that Raider locker room as Marshawn Lynch, Michael Crabtree, Donald Penn, Marquette King. I'm going to throw him in there as well, too, just because he is a goofball. Alden Smith, who we saw finally get cut by the Raiders. And now Sean Smith right back in there. But the interesting part of the story took a twist yesterday. As we mentioned, he beat up the boyfriend of his sister, and he beat the poor guy to a pulp, smashing his face. The boyfriend said yesterday that he is going to sue the Raiders, saying it's the team's fault that he got his face smashed in because the Raiders trained him to do that. So what do we do now? All fat people are going to sue Taco Bell, McDonald's, the fast food industry? What? I understand why this guy is upset. He got his face beat in. We don't know all of the altercation that took place here, but it was Sean Smith losing it and beating this guy up. But for him to turn around and now sue the Raiders, I get it. It's the money train. He's in it for the dollars, but this isn't going to fly in court. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah, probably not going to win there, buddy, but... Points for trying. Look, it's so stupid. Look, Sean Smith, clearly a guy whose head is not on right. But if you went around suing everybody for everything bad that happened to you and blame their employer or blame something else, I mean, we already have enough frivolous lawsuits in this country. The last thing we need is another one. And what's worse is if this guy somehow, some way wins, it's going to open up a Pandora's box. But you know what? Lawyers don't care about that. They see payday and dollar signs. So... bad all around.
Speaking of the Raiders, I saw John Gruden at the Cosmopolitan the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Saw him there having a little cocktail in one of the fine lounges there.
So yeah.
That was nice to see John Gruden, and the NFLPA Players Association were actually in town, so they're having their meetings and everything. But he's got to clean up this locker room. And I've talked about it before. You've got a bunch of morons in this locker room, and this is what held you back. I mean, the Raiders... They are a 6-10 team. That's what they are right now with the makeup here. And Jack Del Rio, did he deserve to lose his job? Well, I guess performance, whatever. But Gruden's got to come up here. He's got to clean this thing up. He's got to get rid of some of these bad bodies. He already got rid of Alden Smith.
Well,
hopefully
that guy,
get rid
yeah.
of Sean Smith, even though Alden Smith wasn't around. But again, you know, Donald Penn, problems. Crabtree, problems. Marshawn Lynch, problems. So... I don't know. We'll see what happens with the Raiders. I know people here are excited about getting the Raiders here in 2020, but this roster has got to get cleaned up if they have any hope of advancing. All right. The NCAA selection show.
Oh, boy.
I know we touched about this a little bit yesterday, but come on. If you happen to see the show on Sunday, and this is something that I look forward to. Every year, I look forward. I record it. I've pen and paper handy. Of course, I'm old school. I got my food. I'm ready to go. Leave me alone. 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Except it's not going to be on CBS this year. What? So now I got to try to find it. Oh, it's with TBS. They got to move it over to TBS because they're partners now with CBS. They have been the last few years. So that means I have to endure, you know, Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley, Ernie Johnson, and those NBA guys, which I really don't like it when they incorporated this.
Yeah.
CBS has done a great job for decades. Greg Gumbel, Clark Kellogg, those guys, Seth Davis. But now we got to share it now with TBS. So we go over to TBS the other night, and what do we see, my friend? A live audience. They're treating this thing like a Jimmy Kimmel show or something like that now. They have a live audience there, and they have to remind the people that it's a live audience. They have to remind the live audience that they're part of a live audience, and they're telling them when to applaud and when to do things. It was embarrassing the way this production went about itself on Sunday.
You didn't even touch on the absolute worst part of the entire thing.
Well, I'm getting there, but go ahead. You can jump in. What do you got?
This whole unveiling the teams in the field in the at-large bids in alphabetical order. If I'm a Notre Dame fan, What the hell reason do I have to continue watching this after you tell me it's in alphabetical order, so if you're keeping score at home, that means Notre Dame is out?
Right.
Why would you... What genius sat in the production meeting and said, let's make half of the people who were watching this turn off when they find out their team's not in it?
Exactly. My point exactly. Why do we have to mess with things? And it's everything. It's every terrible Tuesday I'm venting about the NFL, the NBA, whether it's uniforms, whether it's rules. Let's reconvene and let's change the rules of our games. But with this coverage, why do you need to change it? Let's see the brackets unveil. The mystery will be there for at least a half hour or so, right? Like it always is.
Yeah.
But like you said, Notre Dame, Louisville, not there, gone. Forget about it.
Well, yeah, what's the point?
Let's go get something to eat, and let's come back tomorrow and see where our NIT bid is.
And then maybe the most egregious, or I hate that word, the egregious thing was they're going in alphabetical order. And they put NC State.
I saw that ahead of North Carolina.
Before the truck stop up north.
Oh, yeah.
North Carolina State.
Right.
N-O comes after N-E.
You're right. You're right.
You know, I mean, and then.
So didn't you think what I thought, that maybe Nevada or the truck stop was maybe out?
When you did. Saw that? That's exactly what I thought. I said, oh, my God, the Mountain West got screwed because there was that long pause and then they show the truck stop school. But.
That'd be
the other thing they did, and a lot of people didn't catch it, when they showed New Mexico State, they actually showed the logo for New Mexico.
Of course they did. And guess what else Ernie Johnson did? When he's unveiling, he said the Buffalo Bills. He said the Buffalo Bills. Oh, for you keeping score at home, they're the Bulls, okay?
Yeah.
It's a different vowel there. There's a U instead of an I.
Yeah, they are not the Buffalo Bills.
But
this logo is a bull.
It is. It's horrible. The coverage is horrible. And then they went to the audience, and he had to keep reminding them, admonishing the audience, oh, this is a live show. Hey, show some enthusiasm. It's embarrassing. For this is your crown moment. Everyone in the world is watching. If you're a college basketball fan, and they're treating it like a mockery.
It was terrible.
And then they had to get the Pizza Hut sponsorship in. Did you see that?
No, no. I turned it off after they unveiled the brackets.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't care.
After one of the commercial breaks, they come back and said, hey, we're brought to you by Pizza Hut. Hey, here's... And they have pizza for the crowd. And they're trying to give pizza to the people in the audience. And they're going like, well, it's probably been sitting here for an hour. I really don't want to eat this.
It
was shameless plug. The whole thing was a travesty. It makes me sick. Get rid of it.
Yeah, and I don't watch after they unveil the brackets because I don't really care what guys who watch 2 days of college basketball a year have to say about the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I mean, Barkley, I'll listen to him on the NBA all day. I'm not going to listen to him break down San Diego State and Houston.
It was horrendous. Like watching games on true TV isn't bad enough. I can't stand
watching the games. I don't even know what channel that is.
I know. That's my point. And now we've got to watch the selection show on that TBS group of Turner Broadcasting channels. Come on.
CBS, you got to get your act together and take things back.
Take it over. All right. NFL free agency. Okay. Kirk Cousins signs a deal with the Vikings today. 3 years, $84 million, fully guaranteed. Comes as a surprise, given that Cousins' issue in Washington was that the Redskins never wanted to commit to him in a long-term contract. So they went through these one-year deals, and he was fine with that. He said he was perfectly fine with it. So now, when he has the opportunity to sign a 5 or 6 year offer, he doesn't. He signs a 3 year deal, which means he's going to be right back in the same situation again. And after the 2019 season, he's going to be renegotiating again. I don't get it. And more importantly, what I don't understand is the Minnesota Vikings. These guys had an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. They had Case Keenum, who played fantastic. And it wasn't just a rookie sensation. He's a veteran. He's been there. He gets it. You had a great quarterback. You had Teddy Bridgewater, a guy that you drafted. You were trying to groom. He gets injured. He gets kicked to the curb. He's gone now. And then you make a big deal last year. You have to get Sam Bradford. So now all of those guys are OUTT, and you've got Kirk Cousins as your quarterback. This is the most crazy franchise I've seen. They are the most quarterback trigger happy team, and they've been this way for a long time.
Well, I still liked Bridgewater, to be perfectly honest with you. And as a Jets fan, it seems like they're going to be the ones who may end up with Teddy Bridgewater, which makes me excited because, to be honest with you, I wasn't crazy about giving Cousins all that guaranteed money. You know, look, I like Kirk Cousins. I think he's a good quarterback. Is he an elite quarterback? I don't know, because he only won, he only made the playoffs 1 year in Washington.
Well, you know what his career record is?
No.
26-30. 26-30. That's what you're paying for? That's the big deal about Kirk Cousins? 26-30. No, thank you.
Yeah, the other thing is the Redskins, again, why would they not lock this guy up long term? Because now they're stuck with Alex Smith as their guy who's been in the league quite a while. You know, he's nearing the end. Cousins, of course, is still in his prime. I just don't understand why Dan Snyder continues to make mistake after mistake after mistake. This guy's a buffoon. He's Jerry Jones without the Super Bowl rings.
All right, more NFL free agency news. Danny Amendola leaving the Patriots for Miami. Why would you leave the comfort of Tom Brady and getting to Super Bowls, perennial Super Bowls, playoff appearances for maybe a few extra bucks? Amendola said in late February at a speaking event back in Rhode Island, he goes, this is the quote, I'm a free agent this year, so let's say the unknown. We'll see what happens. I definitely want to be here in New England. I want to come back. To tell you the truth, I don't want to leave. But it's a business. I've learned that. Danny, what happened? You're going to Miami to what? Catch passes from who? Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
Who? Who's he catching passes from?
Tannehill?
Ryan, are you serious? Now, this is what gets me. You would think that guys would learn from the other guys that made their mistakes. Wes Welker, he decided to leave. Whatever happened to him, nothing again. Danny Woodhead left the comfort there. Martellus Bennett, he left there, went to obscurity again. And it's just not the Patriots. Eric Decker left the comfort of the Denver Broncos. Never to be heard from again, really. The Jets? I mean, come on.
He couldn't stay healthy, so that kind of hurt.
But you know what I'm saying?
Everyone knows his wife.
But he went for the money is my point.
Yes.
Right? He went to the Jets for the money. Julius Thomas, another guy that left Denver for the money. What? To Miami?
Now he's in Jacksonville,
yeah,
right?
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know. It's ridiculous. But Danny Amendola, you want to stay. They want you to stay. When you're with an organization like, just finish your career there. I mean, you think you'd learn from bouncing around and being with the Rams for all those years when they were terrible in St. Louis.
Well, you know, I mean, Amendola did win a Super Bowl with the Patriots, so I'm sure he's probably thinking, you know what? I'm going to cash in. It's the last big contract I'm going to get in my career. My career is winding down. I'm going to take a payday because apparently that's more important than winning. So Miami, decent team, not a good team, not a great team. He won't win there, and to be honest with you, he'll probably fade away into obscurity.
All right, finally, I got to tell you a story. I was in the store the other day. You know, I'm not one of these shoppers that go grocery shopping for, you know, 20 items and lock up for the month. That's not me. I'm in there for my 1-2 items. You know, I'm getting my hot dogs, I'm getting my buns, I'm getting my potato chips, and I'm ready to go. So I'm standing in line with one of our friendly convenience grocery stores, I should say, not a convenience store, our grocery stores. I'm stuck in line behind this lady who is buying a bottle of wine. And have you ever seen wine or bought any liquor or wine in grocery stores before?
Yeah, it's got like that big...
Thank you!
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a big drinker, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But this lady is holding up the line because they can't get this thing. Now, apparently, it's like a lock, right?
Yeah, it's like a big plastic...
Yeah, it's a big old thing.
It looks like a giant Abe Lincoln top hat that they put on top of
exactly.
a bottle of alcohol.
So you can feel my pain that I'm struggling. I want to get back, want to get home, watch the games, got my chips, got my stuff ready to go, and then they're stuck here. I got a 10-minute delay, a game penalty here, and it looks like a gigantic, like a medicine cabinet thing that they put on cough syrup, except like 14 times that, and they can't get it off. You can't get it off. They got to call security. They got to call this. They're not going to let the lady leave, and all of a sudden, the line is backed up now. I'm about ready to lose it for a bottle of wine. Are you kidding me? Do you know what eventually happened here? They let her walk out of the store with the gizmo on.
What?
Yes, because they couldn't get it off.
Well, two things. First of all, how does she get it off at home?
Exactly.
Does she just break the bottle and hope no glass falls in?
I guess.
Why wouldn't you just go to the checkout where you can scan it yourself and just leave?
No one could figure out. They said that it was a mechanical chip flaw.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's a chip malfunction.
That's it.
No, that's it. So I've lost it now.
Robots are coming to get us. It's all over. That's AI, it. We're done.
That's it. God, frustration at the grocery store. I can't handle it. Big Bill Cartwright. We will talk to him to see if he has his bracket appropriately filled out. We'll talk NCAA tournament when we come back. TC Martin Show on Fox.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up. Get on up. Get up.
We want you to join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We have got our March Madness seminar taking place at the Cosmopolitan. 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's right. Matthew Holt, Jason Symbol, Brian Benowitz, myself will be there breaking it all down for you, all the brackets. So be at the CG Technology Sportsbook inside the Cosmopolitan tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Come on by, say hi. We will break it down for you, give you our opinions, our Final Fours, championship games, first round winners, hopefully. Yes, all that and a whole lot more. 1 o'clock tomorrow, be taking place in the CG Technology Sportsbook, a beautiful location there at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas on the Strip. And don't forget, we'll be doing the show live from the Belmont Ballroom from the Hoops and Hops coming your way on Friday. And if you haven't got your tickets for Hoops and Hops, it is fantastic. So many big screens, great food, drinks, all of that upstairs there. Bar games, basketball, hoop. Up there, Golden Tee, the Super Shot. Oh, it's just a big party. Starting on Thursday morning through Saturday, Hoops and Hops at the Cosmopolitan. So a lot of good stuff happening there. Come on out and join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock before the show. All right. Let's go to our good friend who is still donning his green and gold of USF, even though they are not playing in the NCAA tournament. But that's okay, Big Bill Cartwright, because I know that you've been doing your homework and you've got that bracket ready to go. Isn't that right?
I've almost got my bracket completed. But as you know, in this first round, there's going to be some upsets. And yeah, I'd be really curious to hear who you think is going to, where the upsets are going to happen in this first round.
All right. Well, we're going to get your opinion on that today, my friend. All right. So first, let's talk a little bit about Gonzaga, a team from the WCC that obviously you've seen a lot. Had a great tournament here. Your USF Dons lost to them in the semifinals. But Gonzaga with a, what, number 4 seed in this tournament, for a lot of people, that's a little bit low. Your thoughts about the Zags with that number 4 seed, and how far do you think they can go after getting to the championship game last year and losing to Carolina in the final?
Well, my thing is, I don't care where you are in the beginning or the middle of the season. I want to see how you're going to end the season well. So how well are you playing, and how healthy are you? And, you know, Gonzaga ended the year on a, you know, 14-game win streak, which is the most in the country. So anytime you finish that strong and you've got a healthy team, you've got confidence going, you're rolling in, you've got to really like them. So for me, they should be right back where they were last year. They're playing great. They built it up. They play a lot of guys. They're a really formidable team.
Yep, Gonzaga, again, a fashionable pick for a lot of people in this tournament. You know, they could be you know, facing Xavier in that in a couple rounds from now. Xavier, the number 1 seed. A lot of people feel that Xavier is probably the most vulnerable of the number 1 seeds, and everyone's pointing to Gonzaga, and there's a matchup there between these two teams where they're kind of similar. I mean, when you look at Xavier, they're probably a more guard-oriented team, where Gonzaga, you know, they've got Jonathan Williams, they've got guys down low, and they have a little bit of depth. So for me, I think that matchup is going to, you know, be happening next weekend, and I can hardly wait. If those two teams match up, in your opinion, what do you think is going to happen between Xavier and Gonzaga?
Well, I think I feel like, and of course I've seen Gonzaga a lot more, I think that Gonzaga is a little more versatile. They can hurt you outside. They can hurt you inside. They've got really good one-on-one players, and their size is really good as well. So it's going to be a great matchup. Both teams have good players. They're well coached, so that's going to be a fun game. But before that happens, let's just make sure you win to get to the game that we're talking about.
Right, exactly. All right, so you talk about finishing the year strong. I totally agree with you. You look at Oklahoma. They're on the other end of this thing, losing 11 of their last 15. 2-8 in their last 10, but they do have freshman sensation Trae Young, who is the leading scorer in the nation. People are comparing him to Steph Curry. This team was the second-ranked team going back to December. Then they haven't won a road game since December the 30th. Not playing well, but you do have Lon Kruger, a good coach. How do you think that Oklahoma is going to fare in this tournament, considering they have just been horrendous the last nearly 2 months?
I don't know. Oklahoma got, a 10th seed? Their 10th?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I don't have it in front of me.
Nobody thinks they're going to do well.
Right.
I mean, everybody's expecting them to lose their first game. So it's just amazing that they got in. And we were talking about that today. Look, NCAA has their system of ranking. And a lot of it depends on the people you play, whether you beat them or not. So whatever system that is, that's the system you need to work to know. And as a coach, you need to work at that system to make sure you're playing those teams. Because whether you win or lose, your ranking's going to go up. And apparently, whatever system they have, Oklahoma hit that, which allowed them to get into the tournament. I do think it's preposterous that they're in, considering how poorly they played. But here they are.
Yeah, you had Oklahoma is in, Syracuse is in, these teams, you just don't know what's going to happen, because we've seen these teams that barely get in, like VCU a couple years ago, they end up going all the way to the Final Four. George Mason was that situation, more than, a decade or so ago as well, too. So you see these teams that are playing in the play-in games, it's not that surprising anymore that they can make a serious run and make it all the way to the Final Four.
Well, if they're playing well, and sometimes teams have an awakening, sometimes guys get healthy. But there are teams that are playing well, and we should know those teams. Like Virginia's played well here at the end of the year. Cincinnati's played well. Michigan's played well. A team that surprised a lot of people, like Loyola, Chicago, they won their last 10 in a row. And a team that's out here, San Diego, won the conference tournament, is 1-9 in a row. I mean, that's a bad matchup for somebody early in the year. So that's going to be interesting to see these teams that are playing well, that have won a lot of games in a row. You just don't want that matchup. So it's going to be interesting in this first round, which is, to me, the most dangerous round.
No doubt about it. Bill Cartwright joins us, 5-time NBA champion. Of course, All-American at USF back in the day. Let's talk about some of these matchups, these first-round matchups. Who's piqued your interest, and who do you like as far as an upset?
Well, the team, I'm just going to throw a couple of games at you that I kind of looked at. The Michigan State game with Bucknell, I don't like that for Michigan State because those guys can really score. And interesting enough, I don't like Kansas playing Penn
right
in the first one. That's going to be a tough matchup for Kansas. And I talked about San Diego before playing Houston. Houston should win, but San Diego, those guys are playing really well. I haven't won 9 in a row. So it's going to be those games, to me, are going to be really interesting to watch.
And Bucknell is a team, like a lot of these smaller schools that are here just about every year, and they are senior-laden teams. And that's the big thing between the one-and-dones that we see with Kentucky, like Calipari was saying the other day. Because, hey, this is the youngest team that has ever been in the NCAA tournament. Guys that are just turning 18 years old. But then when you go to some of these smaller schools, like you mentioned, Bucknell and even Loyola, these guys have been playing together for 2-3 years together. And now, like a team like Bucknell, they are used to being here. Butler's another team. They are used to being here. They've gone through some tough battles and moving up in conferences. Now, like Butler in the Big East and everything, played their way in a battle-tested Big East tournament. And here we go again. So, to me, there's more parity now than we've ever seen before.
Well, yeah, it's really hard to play against a lot of the smaller schools, a lot of mid-majors, because those guys have played together for a while, and they're going to make fewer turnovers than their older guys. But also, for a team like Bucknell, anytime you're a little bit unorthodox, you're playing a little bit different kind of game that's just up and down, like Bucknell plays, that's a problem. Because you haven't faced that all year. So you're going to have to adjust your game and somehow be able to get them to play your game, which is always tricky. So that's what makes that matchup so interesting.
All right, tonight it all starts with two of the first four games. And just tipping off right now, we've got LIU and Radford. Now, Big Bill, can you give me the nicknames of both of those schools?
No.
Long Island University. You don't know Long Island? Come on.
Well, considering you know where I'm from, I don't know why you expect me to know that.
That's right. Because if I asked you, you know, somebody in the WCC, if I asked you, like, of course, San Diego, you'd nail that one, right? Or Pepperdine, of course.
Yeah, well, you know the
names. Exactly. All right. So LIU and Radford, Chris Chapman, of course, knows it from being that part of the country.
Yeah, Northeast guy. LIU, the Blackbirds.
Of course.
Like that great jazz group. They spell it a little bit different, though.
Yeah, there you go. Or you can be like walking in rhythm, like the Blackbirds. There you go. And then the Radford Highlanders, named after a Toyota car. You got to love that. They're battling right now in Dayton. Now, the game I want to talk with you about is UCLA and St. Bonaventure, a pair of 11 seeds. Kind of strange to me that we have UCLA in this game, especially considering how well they played for the most part of the year in the Pac-12. They played Arizona tough in that semifinal here in Vegas last Friday night, and now they're in this play-in game against the Bonnies, which are a pretty tough team. So what do you think is going to happen with UCLA and St. Bonaventure tonight? They tip it off at 6:10.
Well, I believe there's this bias towards East Coast teams, Midwest teams, and I don't believe the West Coast gets the respect from this NCAA committee, and it never has. So I'm all for the West Coast teams. So I love this team, even though it's not my school. UCLA win, and also later, I would love to see Arizona State win. So I'm always pulling for the West Coast.
Of course. All right, my friend. Well, enjoy your tournament viewing. We'll talk to you more about this. I can hardly wait to see that bracket, and we'll get some more thoughts as we progress on here during the week.
All right, I like it. Hey, are we good for this bracket, by the way? We had talked about that earlier. I just want to make sure that I'm good for it.
You're good for it, man. There you go. Just make sure I don't have to chase you down for the cash. So there we go. We're down for the bracket, no doubt about it.
Well, Chris has got me that way, so I'm not worried about it. I should have my back shirt.
So that's how it works. So you bring Chris a USF shirt. Now he's got your back as far as the cash in the bracket. Do you see how this guy works now?
I do, but, you know, I mean, he is a five-time NBA champ, so, you know.
So more for he should have the cash then, right?
I would think. I mean, five-time NBA champ and probably – We'll
settle up when I get there. No worries.
There's no worries.
I promise you, you get a shirt. You got one.
Yeah, and I like the shirt. It's a very nice shirt.
But yeah, there it is.
You can't pay up in cigars, though, okay?
Ooh.
Let's remember that, okay?
Well,
can't pay up in cigars.
Are they from Cuba?
Well, I don't know. He's got a whole a laundry list of places he gets his cigars from.
Humidor in his house?
Oh, yeah. He's got it all.
Wow.
Look, if that's what you need, remember, I was in Chicago. We just get it done. So if that's what you want, we'll just get it done.
All right, man. You take care. And yes, I can hardly wait to see this bracket. So there you go. Get it in. Big Bill Cartwright, yes, the five-time NBA champ and severe cigar smoker and scotch connoisseur. I forgot to talk to him about he went scotch tasting the other day.
Oh, wow.
Scotch tasting.
You know, a friend
of mine.
Next time
we'll talk about that.
Gave me a bottle of Glenlivet, I think it's 18, from the actual Glenlivet. Whatever distillery in Scotland.
Did it have the Abraham Lincoln on it, which you could not take off?
No, but it came in a very nice box, and it is wrapped in a very nice Glenlivet paper. Oh. And, it's...
You should have brought that up to the big guy.
It didn't dawn on me, and I haven't drank it yet. But, it was a gift to me from a friend, so...
So you're saving it for a special occasion.
Yeah, but there's no special occasions in my house.
Well, what about this? So the next time the seven-footer comes,
you know what?
We bust it out.
And you know what? Ed and Clay across the hall, they get to drink with J.R. Starkus every Thursday. Right. So you know what? Maybe we should. I think that's fair.
You know, once we tell him, he might get on a plane like tomorrow now if we tell him this.
Yeah, yeah. So
there you go.
He's a nice guy. I'm cool with that.
You guys are like the Scotch Brothers
Yeah,
now.
But tomorrow you guys are at the Cosmopolitan.
I know. Well. But we'll be back. Don't worry about it. Yes. We'll find some time. Yes. Definitely. All right. We'll take a look at the NCAA tournament a little bit more when we come back. And Magnum will have the latest in the free agency frenzy in the NFL right here on Fox. Get on over to one of the fantastic CG Technology sports books. Get the mobile app. Now is the time you have to have it so you can bet where you watch the games. The CG Technology mobile app, betting made easy. Sign up at the Palms, the Silverton, M Resort, Venetian Palazzo, Hard Rock, Tropicana, the Cosmopolitan. Literally, it takes you 5-6 minutes to get signed up. Bet where you watch the games. From the convenience there of your mobile phone, you can bet the action. The CG Technology mobile app for the in-game wagering, all of it. You have to have it, especially now during the March Madness. So if you haven't signed up for the mobile app, that's how you bet in 2018 with the CG Technology mobile app. All right. Reminder again, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we will have our bracket breakdown. It's our March Madness seminar. We do this each and every year. Cosmopolitan in the CG Technology Sportsbook. Very comfortable. Come on out and join us. If you come out there and watch the shows on Friday, we fully expect you to come on out tomorrow at 1. We'll have all of the breakdown for you as well, too. So question and answer sessions with Jason Symbol, Matthew Holt, Brian Benowitz, myself. Looking forward to it tomorrow, 1 o'clock at the Cosmopolitan. Be back in here for studio time at 3 o'clock to do the show. And then, don't forget, Thursday, Friday, it all happens, the NCAA tournament. And you can be part of that. And we'll be doing the show from upstairs in the Belmont Ballroom on Friday. Come on by, say hi. It's going to be great. It's going to be electric. It's going to be jam-packed up there for hoops and hops at the Cosmopolitan on Friday. All right. Stay tuned. Coming up next, you can hear first round action, the play-in games, NCAA tournament, Long Island taking on Radford. That game just started, so we'll join that in progress. And then at 6:10 tonight, UCLA takes on St. Bonaventure. That is your first two games of the first four in the NCAA tournament right here tonight. I want to thank Big Bill Cartwright for joining us. If you miss any part of the show, you know where to go. Go to the website at tcmartinshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at tcmartin21. You can hear the Terrible Tuesday takes all over again. Check out the interview from yesterday's show. Steve Lapis joined us, and he gave us his breakdown on the bracket. So good listening there. That's on the homepage at tcmartinshow.com. For Chris Chapman, TC Martin saying so long. Have yourself a good one. Again, 1 o'clock, Cosmopolitan tomorrow, and then back here, 3 o'clock on your radio, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM here in Las Vegas.